Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Ambassador Patrick Kennedy, Undersecretary of State for Management at the U.S. Department of State. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Bonnie Glick. Ambassador Kennedy, what are some of the significant challenges your bureau faces in administering the diplomatic missions in hotspots such as Iraq and Afghanistan?
The State Department normally does not operate in spots that are quite this hot. But we see ourselves as partners with the U.S. military, and therefore the State Department has committed large numbers of personnel to both Iraq and Afghanistan. Using Iraq as the example, we have personnel in Baghdad. We have personnel in some 27 other cities and locations around Iraq, embedded in many cases with our military colleagues in what we call embedded provincial reconstruction teams, and then in reconstruction teams that where we're operating on our own. These personnel work with the local leaders to help them develop ways that municipalities can operate better and deliver services to the people. Because if individuals believe that they're getting good services from their local government, then they have a higher opinion of their local government, and those who would wish to disrupt good order stand a less chance of doing so. Security is always a challenge in Iraq. We have taken extraordinary steps to make sure that our personnel are secure, either through the Diplomatic Security Service or in conjunction with our military colleagues. We've also had no real shortage of people stepping up to serve. This past year, we advertised all the jobs. We reached a point where almost all of them were filled. We then said that we would use the provisions of the Foreign Service Act to direct personnel to go to fill the remaining jobs. And before we even implemented that procedure, we got sufficient numbers of volunteers stepped up and said, no, we'll take that job. We'll take this job.
Now, continuing along this line of security, I understand that the Secretary assembled a panel of outside experts to review the State Department's personnel protective services, specifically in Iraq. Could you tell us more about this panel, and could you perhaps elaborate a bit more on other efforts being pursued by your area in securing people and facilities both here and abroad?
I was part of that panel, and the charge to the panel was to conduct a serious probing and comprehensive review of the activities. So I was the only member of the four-person panel who was a State Department employee. We had a retired four-star general, a retired ambassador, and the director of security from another U.S. government agency. The four of us went out to Iraq. We reviewed the situation. We reviewed our processes and the incidents there and found in general that we had good processes in place. We screened personnel who you were using for contract security. We train them well, but you can always improve a process. And so the panel made a dozen or more recommendations to the secretary, all of which were adopted. For example, now every time we have a motorcade or a convoy taking embassy staff from point A to point B, there is a special agent, a federal agent of the Diplomatic Security Service, who accompanies that convoy as the agent in charge to make sure that all those rules and procedures are followed. We've installing cameras in the vehicles to record what may happen along the route. We have increased our coordination with the U.S. military. We had already been passing them data on our movements. So we think we have resolved any potential issues in Iraq. But at the same time, it is a very dangerous environment. Recently, one of our embassies was attacked in Europe. And there were lots of stories in the press about the compound being breached. But the hard line that we construct, that hard line was never breached.
The Office of Language Services is responsible for providing interpreting and translating services to the department. A significant challenge facing this program is recruiting a pool of direct hire employees and contractors who are among the world's best interpreters and translators. How has your organization handled this challenge, and are there any plans to relax some of OPM's applicant rating procedures and security clearance requirements?
We think our interpreters are the best in the U.S. government. When you see somebody standing next to the Secretary of State or the President or many other cabinet officers, it is an employee of the State Department's Bureau of Language Services who are providing that interpretation service. And when you see the United States sign a treaty or any other international agreement, it's always in two languages, the language of the country we're signing with and the English, and that work has been done by State Department translators who compare to make sure that the texts are actually equivalent. OPM and the Defense Department and the State Department and other government agencies are looking at new rules on security clearance procedures. But we don't see those as relaxing the security clearance procedures. I think it is more of bringing them into the modern era, more exchange of information on an electronic basis. We think streamlining the security clearance process is good, but I believe that the result will not be any diminution of security, but will rather be greater efficiency and effectiveness.
I understand your department's Information Technology Central Fund totals some $260 million. Would you elaborate on your department's IT investment priorities, including modernization of its global IT infrastructure and various e-government initiatives? What are some of the critical challenges your department faces, and what are you doing to progress and improve in the e-gov initiative?
I think our major challenges are that we have over 300 activities, missions overseas, consulates, embassies, plus some 30 or 35 operations in the United States. So we have to have a robust IT operation that can reach out in a secure way, whether it's secure meaning it can't be breached, or it's secure because it's moving national security information. So as diplomacy moves on, we need also to find ways to give diplomats the ability to be more portable, to be more mobile. State Department has a very, very good system now, which issues little fobs, little devices with encryptions and passwords that you could sign on to a PC in your hotel room or in some other facility and move very surely but safely into our unclassified network in a way that no one can trail you through the door, so to speak, so we can do that work more efficiently. But that's not to say that those who are out there who are either hackers or cyber terrorists aren't after us every day. They hack at us all the time, and we work very, very closely with our colleagues in the Department of Defense and the intelligence community and the Department of Commerce and others to always keep abreast of what is the best technology we can find to ward off the hackers. eGov is important. We constantly work on the website to make sure that it is the most robust and responsive possible, because it's certainly something that is much more efficient and effective for us and allows us to deploy our resources in the most efficient way possible.
Now, Pat, we talked earlier about the 18 million passport applications and some 7 million non-immigrant visa applications. Could you elaborate on your department's efforts to improve its IT security to protect such things as personally identifiable information? Specifically, what role does the Information Systems Security Committee, or the ISSC, play in your efforts to improve IT security across the department?
Security is always job one, whether it's personal security or physical security or cryptological security. And IT security is right up there. In fact, in the process of just recently appointing our new chief information officer, we elevated the position of director of IT security from an office director to the position of deputy chief information officer as a sign of our commitment, but more than that, making sure that he has full access to the resource table to make sure that we're providing that. We believe, I think, in what you might call defense in depth. We have to be able to combat those who would hack our way into us. So we have multiple layers. I think we have a very, very robust system in place. So it's a daily activity to which we have made a significant commitment in personnel and other resources, and we will do it today, and we'll do it tomorrow and the next day.
That's fantastic. What does the future hold for the U.S. Department of State? We will ask Ambassador Patrick Kennedy, Undersecretary of State for Management at the U.S. Department of State, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.